Well, episode 2 of season 3 of The Ricky Gervais Show, with me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Hello there.
And Carl Pilkington.
All right.
What's been going on? What's been going on?
I've been to hospital. I was rushed to hospital, like emergency and that. Had a tube put up my knob.
You had a tube put up your knob?
Yeah.
What's the story?
Kidney stones.
Oof.
So, shouldn't really be here, to be honest, doing this. He said rest and that. Climbing them stairs on the way in.
To be quite honest, it doesn't look like you're expending a lot of energy at the moment. It's like at Zookeeper going, oh, that sloth move today. Calm down.
Yeah, but I had to get here. It's been raining.
Yeah.
I had to come up the stairs. I had to carry the computer.
Yeah.
Well, that's not entirely true because your girlfriend was carrying it. I saw her outside.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
And, then you handed it to me and said, Steve,
God
carry
almighty.
This.
God almighty.
Yeah, I know.
That's already a lie.
Christ almighty. Whinging.
Not whinging.
I'm in show business. I know loads of people that wake up every day with a sore knob, feeling like they've had their kidneys probed, and they will say they're unconscious. So they don't whinge about it. They get straight back onto it. They, a lot of them are on TV now.
Yeah, straight back to hosting game shows.
So you rushed to hospital.
So take us through the events, because it does sound quite dramatic. You started feeling a bit of pain, did you, initially?
I felt a bit of pain, and I thought, maybe I've just pulled a muscle or something when I've been wrestling with Ricky and that, because you don't know what damage is being done. So I just think, it'll go in a minute, and then it didn't. It got a bit badder.
It got badder, did it?
So then I was crippled. I was lying on the floor in agony, looking on the internet. Looking for sort of
still
solutions.
Looking at Monkey News.
No, I just put in like belly ache and stuff, and they were saying it can be loads of different things. And what I used to do when I was a kid, I used to always just get a cold ashtray and put that on my belly, and the coldness used to get rid of the badness.
Amazing.
The coldness got me.
Like a witch doctor. This is like...
A witch doctor happens to work in a pub.
It's like some sort of 5th century remedy written in mud. Coldness doth get away with the badness.
Why specifically an ashtray?
Just because they were the sort of old cold.
They're old cold.
I don't know what this is. I love this idea that he's at the operation and he comes round and they're talking to him and his girlfriend gets a phone call and they say, Mr. Pilkington's maybe complications. He's just talking rubbish. She goes, oh, good.
Yeah, he's back to his old self. Why specifically an ashtray? Sorry, because it's old cold. I understand it's old cold.
Oh, yeah, we understand. Everyone who's done a medical degree understands old cold. But old cold belly madness. If you want to buy that book, Old Cold Belly Madness, it's the history of abdominal surgery by Carl Pilkington.
No, it just,
But you put it in the freezer or something first?
You can do if you want, but they're normally cold anyway. Sort of thick glass and that, it holds the cold. But we don't smoke in our house, so I had to use a plate.
Oh, well, that's madness. A plate's not going to work. A plate doesn't work.
Oh, God, no!
So you put a plate on your belly, but that didn't do any...
No,
that didn't work. So called Suzanne and said, I'm in agony here. She said, go to the doctors then.
Good advice.
So
a lot of people have done that straight away, as opposed to going through the plate... Ashtray.
So he went to hospital and he went to hospital and he said, have you got an ashtray?
This
is no smoking.
So then we get in a cab and what have you, go there. I have an x-ray.
His voice is even more boring than usual,
isn't it?
Extraordinary,
isn't it? Yeah.
Fuck me.
And they put me on a drip and everything. Give me some morphine and stuff. And found out that I had kidney stones. So... That's why I was in hospital. And they get them out by... I don't know what's gone on, to be honest. I've got some tube inside me. From my kidney to my bladder. That's helping me stuff get about.
And so there's a little tube up the end of your knob into your...
Yeah, it's not there now. It's right... It's high up.
Right.
So it's high up between my kidney and my bladder.
But why didn't you have the thing where they go in the side? You had the choice to...
Because I said to the doctor, I said, I'm not a doctor. I said, what do you think?
He went, stop putting yourself down, Carl. We need you in the operating theatre now.
He just said, I said to him, what should I have done? Because he said, if you want, go home, and we'll get you in again or something. Something like that. And I said, no, I might as well have it done properly. Have it done now whilst I'm here.
Sorry, but the choice was have it done properly or go home.
It was something like that. He said, there's something you can do. And I said, oh.
Flush it out?
No, because it's too big. It's something like 7 millimetres.
And it's basically because you don't drink enough water.
Yeah. So, anyway, I said, what do you think I should have done? And he said, tube up the knob. And I said, not my favourite one of the choice, but if that's what you think. So he said, yeah, have that. He did me little diagrams, which didn't help. He was, like, showing...
How big did he draw your knob?
Sort of normal size.
Yeah, was it?
It was all right.
You weren't offended by them?
But he went into detail. It's just, you know, more the tube and stuff and your bladder and your kidney.
What was your ball bag like? Did he draw that?
He didn't do that bit. He left that bit out.
Okay, right.
But he said, we'll just pop that up there. And then that's when Ricky turned up to visit. Came in laughing at me because we sat there in, like, me underpants and stockings.
In stockings?
Yeah.
Why were you dressed
He was there. No, he wasn't in bed. He was sort of out of bed with his little drip, right? He had his little boxer shorts on, just sat there, right, in his pants, right? And he had stockings on.
Yeah, because they stop clots or something. They put them on your legs. It's like, you know, when people have got big veins and they go on a plane.
Right, yeah.
You said you're not a doctor.
No, but I've seen it, because Suzanne's mum did it, and she put them on ridiculously early, like 3 days before we were going away, and she'd never been away before, and everything was, like, over the top, do you know what I mean? She was like, I best put them on. And, so I put them on, and they, like, I don't know what it is, it's something when you're under, your blood doesn't move about the same.
Right.
And it can clot up in your leg. So you wear these tight tights.
And I came in to cheer him up, didn't I?
Yeah.
Was that a nice, cheery experience, him coming in?
I had a headache at the time. I think he was a bit stressed out.
But he's just the man you want at that point.
Yeah.
He reassured you, I imagine.
Well, it's weird how it suddenly all happened quick. It was like, as soon as he came in, it's like they got the finger out. And when I say
Not
that,
literally.
I mean
yeah.
suddenly I was being rushed down to, you know, have me stuff done. And I woke up and there was an Irish woman over me going, are you all right? Are you all right? And I said, oh, it's stinging a bit. She said, I'll give you some more morphine. And I sort of put my head up to have a look at my tackle because I wanted to see...
If it was still there.
What was attached to it. Do you know what I mean? Because they said something about they might leave some string hanging out of it so they can pull the tube out.
And it makes you talk.
So I had a look for that. Couldn't see any of that.
Yeah.
But as she put the morphine in, all the muscles in your body go funny. My head just collapsed.
Your head collapsed.
I sort of looked up to look at my stuff, but then she said, oh, you just need a little bit of morphine. And she put that in, and I just sort of went, oof. And then they sent me home about 2 hours after. But I'm in agony now. And
are you in agony right now as we speak?
Yeah, it's hurting.
Now, are you a man who's had this kind of hospital experience before? Is this your whole first time?
I don't go do it to hospitals and stuff, because I don't like them messing about. But it does make you think now, do you know what I mean? Like... life and everything. I mean, it's weird how it's all happened in the last month, from seeing that bee sort of die.
No.
Well, not really.
No. This is not a near-death experience.
It is.
You had a routine operation to remove kidney stones because you don't drink enough water.
No, I know, but...
This is not a shark attack.
Yeah, but it's all life-threatening. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to fill out forms, would you, saying, if everything goes wrong, Suzanne can have the house or whatever. And then you find out more about the body as well, which has been sort of doing me head in a bit. You're more aware of stuff in your body, which I don't like knowing about.
Yeah.
They keep checking your heartbeats and stuff, and your blood pressure. I don't like knowing about that. I just like, leave it. It's happening. Don't be messing with it. Stop measuring it.
Stop measuring it!
No, do you know what I mean?
That same with the knob?
It's that thing of like, they put that thing
That's
on.
What the anaesthetist was doing when you were under, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was comparing the diagram to the actual thing.
Oh, God. The fella across the way from me had the same thing as me, but he'd had it a couple of days ago when he was in agony. So that doesn't help when he's saying, oh, I've been to hell and back. Like, don't tell me that.
Sure.
I don't want to know. Just say it was all right and stuff. So it just, the whole thing of a hospital is stressful. Do you know what I mean? They wake you up like every half an hour in the night, saying, how do you feel? It's like, well, what, you know, it's 3:30. What are you doing? I've got to have it done again in a couple of weeks. Because what they've done now, they've popped that straw up, but the stone's still in there because they didn't have the laser team in with them. Blast the stone, and then that time they're probably going to leave a little bit of string out the end. Then they have to go about 3 days later and they pull it out. Tell you what, though, when you are sort of... Because when you're in hospital, you've got a lot of time just to sit there and think about stuff. And what I was thinking about is, what is the closest thing to sort of living that's nothing?
I don't know what you mean.
What?
What's like the closest... Like, do you know at some point something's gone from nothing to something? Hasn't it?
No, I don't know. I don't understand what you mean.
Something... At some point, people were nothing, and then something happened and there was something. Do you know what I mean?
But they were never nothing, were they?
Do you mean what is the first and lowest and most primitive and most simple form of life?
No,
he's right here in this room, Rick.
say like when you look at a stick insect,
right?
You go, right, there's a slight crossover there from a stick to a living thing.
No, it's not.
It didn't used to be a stick.
No, it's not. There's no biological relationship between it and a stick.
But there isn't much difference between the two, is what I mean.
Of course there is.
It's a huge difference.
They just sit there looking like a stick. That's their skill.
Yes, but there's nothing to do with being a stick. It's like camouflage. That's like saying when a soldier puts on combat gear, you're saying he's a cross between a human and a shrub. He's not a cross between a human and a shrub.
No,
is
but
he?
that's man-made.
From a distance, you can't see him. That's the same as the stick insect.
No, but that isn't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, have you seen them weird things that just look like they sort of look like a leaf?
Yeah, they're insects that look that have evolved to look like a leaf. So a bird thinks, oh, there's no tea there.
No,
that's not
a
juicy insect. It's a leaf. I don't eat leaves.
Yeah, but
forget
at some
it.
Point, something has had it away with a leaf.
No, what? At no point has something had it away with a leaf.
No, to make it look that much like
no.
a leaf.
At no point did a beetle shag a leaf. There's nothing on a genetic level or a molecular level, anything to do with it having anything to do with a stick or a leaf. It's superficial. It's the way it looks. That's all it... that's like saying chameleons must have mated with green once. They are green.
No, but
it looks like a leaf.
What I don't understand is...
It has evolved to blend in perfectly with its surroundings and fool predators.
But then how does it meet... How does it have relationships? It will be going around sort of having it away with a leaf.
No, it won't, because it doesn't know what it looks like. It doesn't matter. They do it with pheromones and attraction and... it's not like they, a stick insect will be talking to a stick for ages and go, oh, I've wasted my time here. This club's dead. Rude.
I was chatting to her. She was foxy, but she was giving me nothing.
But, Dave, that's not a stick insect. That's a stick.
What are you talking about?
That's a stick. You've been talking to a stick all night.
I can't believe it. I just thought she had a great, slim figure.
No, it's actually a real stick.
But I've been reading a lot about... You know, I like spiders and stuff, just reading about them.
Mm.
And there's one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got big legs.
Yeah.
Doesn't use them. It goes around floating in the air on a bit of webbage. Like
he just took a gamble then, didn't he? He took a gamble. He thought, do you know what? I'm going to go with webbage. Don't know if it's a word, not sure, but I could just say web, and I'm going to go with webbage. I'm going to risk it. And it didn't pay off, did it?
Webbage! Webbage!
But that's how it gets about. It's in the air like a kite.
Yeah.
It's just floating about.
I've seen one, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying about weirdness.
Mm.
The way all that goes on, and this is what I can't get my head round.
You have got your head round.
But do they get ill then?
He's just... For those listening at home, he has just bumped his head against the microphone.
Trying to mate with it, because it's perfectly round, this microphone.
No, but when I was... Like, this is what I'm saying, when I was in hospital and stuff, you do think about how others live, because insects don't have operations. Are they built better than us to survive in this world?
the trap you seem to fall into again and again and again is you cannot conceive of the fact that insects and animals do not have consciousness and personality and communication. They do not function in the way that humans do. You've seen so many Disney cartoons, you believe them now to have a life and wear bowler hats and go to work. But just in the same way that the cavemen didn't have Flintstone-type cars and have a little house,
but
you can't seem to understand that animals don't work in that way.
But what I mean is you're saying that no animals or insects know anything, yet when you see them things on nature programmes where a load of ants are having a walk, there's always one at the front who's leading it all. So one of them's got to know something. First.
Or there are leaders in...
Yeah, but the other ants are going, follow him.
No, they're not! They're not! They're not vocalising that in any sense
no,
that you understand
it. No, they're not saying follow
it.
Him, but they sort of look as if to sort of say, I'm but going
without,
this way.
Without
knowledge,
without cognitive
speaking.
Reasoning.
It's not made a conscious decision to act in that way.
Yeah, but this is when
if a raindrop falls on a bird's beak and it moves away because instinctively it's hardwired to be wary of things which drop on its beak in case it's dangerous. It's not thinking, oh, crumbs, I better get out of the way. It just does it because it's somehow hardwired into it to act that way. But it doesn't stop for a moment and think. Which we don't really, except we then are able to rationalise our fears and our actions.
Well, I've been watching birds more than insects recently.
Oh, okay, you've moved on from
insects. In the last week, just because I've sort of looked at the ant and the bee and that. And what I've found with pigeons is they've got wings, yet they walk a lot.
I'd love that to be a thesis where he got like a £500,000 grant from a university, and I said, "Well, Pilkington seems to he's done ants and he's done bees, he's followed ants. Apparently, they're not doing anything. Some of them are lazy. We are granting him another £500,000. He's been working on it for a year. Please welcome Carl Pilkington.
Carl, what have you found?
Well, even though pigeons have wings, they walk a lot.
No, but even in times of danger, one was crossing the road and a car was coming, and you'd think that its head would say, best start flying. Yeah, it just walked faster.
Well,
what's he doing?
It was doing stuff, wasn't it? It saved a bit of energy. It takes a lot to take off, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's either that or you're going to get crushed.
Use but it didn't the get crushed, did it?
No, I don't think it did, no.
There you go, they knew what it was doing, didn't it?
Yeah, it just annoyed me, that's all. It's got a... got a power, and it's not...
power! They're all super-powered, all these animals.
But that's why he thinks of the stick insect as like that. You mentioned earlier, that's its power, that's its skill. Like Spider-Man was bitten by a radioactive spider, and now he can solve crimes and swing with webs, with webbage, using his webbage. Whereas, yeah, stick insects, it's not a superpower.
But say if everything was at the same size as us, what would be the best thing to be? Say, like a tarantula.
Yeah.
And a tiger. What would happen there?
A 15-stone tiger versus a 15-stone tarantula.
Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine the 15-stone tarantula.
Right, so it's just weird that, innit? It's a good job that they're small. Yet things are getting bigger because we're messing with the world.
But it's a ridiculous thing to say, isn't it? Because what would it eat? 15-stone. Well, it wouldn't happen anyway, because insects have insects and arachnids and invertebrate arthropods in general, they have a critical mass, because they haven't got lungs, they breathe through things in their side called spiracles, and if it gets too big, the surface-to-volume ratio isn't big enough to allow it enough oxygen. So the biggest you'll find is like a foot-long beetle or somewhat weird.
It's
like
big
that.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's about as big as they get.
He's
so I wouldn't
kill
worry
that.
About it.
Again, based on nothing, he queries
it's not,
you.
And also, it's not a case that one that'll be born too big and can't breathe. It won't happen. That's why they're only that big, because of
but it's
that
like fish, isn't it? How they say about a goldfish.
Yeah.
That thing about a woman who went on holiday and stuck it in a bath.
Mm.
She came back, it was 7 foot.
Right, that didn't happen.
No, that's a well-known thing about
goldfish.
No, it's
not a well-known thing.
What?
I'll tell you why. Because a fish will only grow to its surroundings anyway. So...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You have to put it in a bigger tank.
Yeah, in a bath.
No, a 7-foot fish in a bath. It just fit the bath exactly, did it?
When she got back off holiday.
Don't talk shit. What was it eating?
How long was she gone for? 2 million years?
Yeah. She went to Mars and back. Yeah.
It's just that fish are weird, aren't they?
Well, no, there's, that's a bollocks story, once again. No, I don't know where you've heard it or read it.
It's a well-known story.
A 7-foot goldfish in your bath.
But, no, fish are weird.
Ted, you're not going to believe this. Come up here.
Well, how many fish do you see that have naturally died? That's the weird thing.
What do you mean?
Just ping-ponging around these ideas in your mind.
You just never see fish sort of just floating about in the water and you go, oh, died of old age. It's always been caught by a man or a shark's at it. You don't just see dead fish washed up, do you? When you think of the amount of fish... Not when you think of the amount of fish that are in the sea. There's loads of them. And yet you never...
Because they're eaten straight away.
That's what I'm saying, though. Are they eaten when they're dead? Or are they just being eaten?
Well, most things like that don't die of old age.
Yeah, that's weird, though, isn't it?
Well, no, because it's a... You know, it's a jungle out there.
Yeah, no, that's why I said I wouldn't want to live in the sea. Because you've got to
be... Are you sure you're not on morphine? As we speak...
No, but you have in the sea, you've got to be constantly sort of alert, haven't you?
Yeah, but that's stuff. True of all animals.
No, worse than the sea. The sea is like full of... you've got an enemy around every rock.
I love it! I love it! I love it's like a warning to crabs and young squid. It's like the policeman that comes into your school.
Yeah.
What advice would you give... Okay, then. What advice would you give...
Some plankton.
Now, what advice would you give a 2-week-old octopus?
And what am I? Am I an octopus?
No, you're you. We've sort of set it up that it can understand you with some sort of one of your inventions to talk to the animals. One of your brilliant inventions is just a watch you strap on its tentacle and it can understand human talk. I'm sure you'll come up with that one day. What do you say to it? What would you say to an octopus, a young octopus, who wants to set out by himself in the sea?
Stay close to the rocks. And just let it know about the thing about it can get into a small space. You know, if you look at an owl, don't go, oh, I can't get in there. And sort of squash it. And show itself. I can roll it into a ball and sort of say, look at that. Is that hurting?
I love the fact that the drugs make no difference. No. It's like there's no difference. Oh, God.
Because that's the only thing that's got, isn't it? It's boneless. So
that's its special power.
That's what it can do. You can roll it up. And as long as it knows that, but that's the problem with a lot of powers, isn't it? That's the same thing about how people say don't have a go at bees because they're not like wasps. They don't sting you because once they sting you, they die. That doesn't know that, does it?
It's also not true, but yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't know. So it's not like the bees going around going, I'm not going to sting you because I'll die if I do.
What's your point there? I don't understand.
I'm just saying...
We shouldn't dislike bees.
How do these creatures know what to do?
Instinct.
I suppose it's like that story you told me about the scorpion, innit? It's that, innit?
What, the scorpion and the frog?
Yeah.
What, the fable?
Yeah. What was it? It was a frog.
The scorpion needed to get across a river, and it said to a frog, can you give me a lift? And the frog said, well, no, of course not, because you'll sting me. You're a scorpion. And he goes, well, no, why would I do that? If I sting you and I'm in the water and you drown, I drown. And the frog went, good point. So... The frog gives him a piggyback, going across the river. Halfway across, the scorpion stings the frog, and the frog's dying. And the frog's going, now I'm going to die, and you're going to die. So why did you do that? And the scorpion said, because I'm a scorpion. What do you think that was meant to point out?
Just sort of be careful who you help.
No. It's meant to point out that you are what you are. You are your nature.
No, but it's also that thing of like...
I'm telling you, it's nothing to do with
what
the frog was...
If you're driving and someone's hitchhiking, don't pick them up because...
No, it's nothing to do with the mentality or the reasoning or the anything to do with the frog at all. The point of it...
Well, I don't know, I think Aesop was thinking a lot about the hitchhiking problem.
It wouldn't happen. That's the problem with a lot of them fables. You're putting animals together that wouldn't meet.
Oh, whereas insects go around shagging leaves.
Well, insects are with the leaves, whereas I don't know where a scorpion is knocking around with a frog. I mean, there's that weird one I remember
he's
watching.
Annoyed.
I remember hearing something about this lizard that sort of gets pally with the scorpions, even though they're not mates, they don't get on, but they've kind of got this agreement that the scorpion can live in their house if they guard it. And there's the local people used to stick their hands down these holes and get the lizards to make slippers out of them. And the lizards were getting sick of this. And I think somehow something happened where the lizards thought, look, enough's enough. We'll let you sleep in our den if you stand by the door. So the scorpion used to, like, stand by the door and stay awake at night whilst the lizard's having a kip. Fella comes along wanting to make some new slippers, puts his hand down the hole, scorpion gets him. Now, yeah. That's what's weird with that, that two enemies have worked together.
It's called a symbiotic relationship. But at no point did they sit down and go, right, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what, I'll give you shelter. You give me that sting in case there's a fella who wants to make slippers. Because all this happened way before people were making slippers.
But isn't it weird, though? Because people, there's nothing that happens like that in people, is there?
Of course there is.
What, like that, where you don't get on, but you work with them?
Of course there is.
What?
Loads of business relationships. What do you mean?
No, but team normally up, you stay... What I mean is you stay away. If someone's being a bit weird...
You know, loads of examples where you might go, well, I hate to do it, but my only option is to go with X, Y and Z.
But what I'm saying is, though, let me just finish.
Go on.
I live in an area where, you know, I sort of know a lot of the locals. And there's a local woman who's a bit mad. Yeah. Now, I know her, but I choose to sort of stay away because it scares you a bit, doesn't it, when something's like that and it's unpredictable. So, you know, when I was in the little corner shop, she came in, right? She screams a lot, just screams for the sake of it. And you don't know if she's upset or if she's just doing it for attention, then the scream will go from screaming to laughing. So you're like, oh, what's going on? And it was like rush hour. It was like rush hour time in the shop. And she chose to go in then. And she doesn't work. So it was like, why is she coming in now? She's had all day to go in. Mm. Just pick the busy time. And she was like about three places in front of me. And she was only buying a Yorkie and some earbuds. Right? And I thought,
a what? A Yorkie and some earbuds?
Yeah. And I thought, what's the rush? You've come at the wrong time and you bought stuff that could have waited. You should never have to rush out for a Yorkie or an earbud, is what I'm saying. Right? And I ended up sort of going, oh, I can't stand this. And I left. Now, that was me being like I would expect the scorpion to be, or the lizard.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
I have no idea.
Okay, so what do you mean?
No, I'm just saying how, like, I chose that that woman could be dangerous, so I'll leave her to it. And that's where nature kicks in. And you go, I don't want to be here. I don't know what she's going to do. She's unpredictable. I'll pop back later. And then, I look out, I can see the shop. I saw her go and she was, like, laughing to herself again and trying to climb up some ladders. And I thought, once she's gone, I'll nip back. I don't know what my point was. I don't know.
Oh, he's only gonna reel it down.
That's the jingle for Carl's Diary. We had bacon and egg on toast. I'm eager to get through the brown sauce, as the bottle is too big to go in any cupboard, so it has to be left on the sideboard. So I had about four dollops of the stuff. I love the that made it into the diary. He's concerned about the fact the brown sauce is too big, so he's rushing through it.
I know, but I'm just saying the kitchen isn't that big, and it looks messy when you leave stuff out, doesn't it? And we've got this giant brown sauce bottle, and I don't want to chuck it away, because that'd be a waste.
So you're having brown sauce and everything, your cornflakes, in your tea. Yeah. A wasp got in the flat. You know trouble's brewing. It was massive. The biggest wasp ever. Suzanne asked me to get it out, but I wanted to take a picture of it first. I was getting my phone ready when it flew at me. I reckon the sting on it could have killed a kitten.
So specific.
It ended up flying out the window on its own. Drama averted.
Oh, God.
We went out for tea. You're always in a cafe. That's all. This diary, you spend so much time in a cafe. There were loads of flying ants. I kept kicking the table because I could feel them on my legs. I wouldn't be that jumpy normally, but I still had flashbacks of the giant wasp from the morning. Suzanne told me to stop being stupid because I was ruining her night out.
A night out in a cafe.
Brilliant. What was it, her birthday?
And flashbacks from an incident.
Yeah.
Like he's some sort of, like, war veteran. What is it? It's the wasp. It could have killed a kitten.
Bought some wallpaper. We got back and got on with it. The wall that we've papered before has got a big mirror under it. We papered on top of it again. I ended up reading my phrase book while Suzanne did the rest of the tidying up. Now, what's your phrase book? This is just you trying to master English, is it?
It's just a book that tells you little sayings and how they came about.
An interesting phrase is potluck. It came about when all people ate is stews. They used to chuck all sorts of stuff into the stew. You stuck your spoon in and sometimes you got something nice like beef or you could end up with a bit of frog. It's potluck.
Good night, isn't it?
That's what it said in the book, didn't it?
A bit of frog.
Got up and checked the wallpaper out. There are loads of air bumps and it's buckled on the joins. I wish we'd never done it. Suzanne said the washer was broke and it's out of its warranty. She called up the people who made it and they said it will cost £150 to fix. I don't know how they know that when they haven't even seen it. I want to smash it to bits and see what they can do for £150. So much anger.
I want to smash it to bits. That'd be great, wouldn't it? 150, you sure?
Yeah,
come
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And it's just like a cube that's been through one of those car crushers. Yeah. 150 quid, there's 150 quid, fix it.
I watched the news and calmed down a bit, because there was a story about some Siamese twins who are having an operation. They've got two heads, four arms, two legs, one liver. The doctor said they will have one leg each. I felt bad worrying about the washer when people have bigger problems like the Siamese twins. Ricky and Steve asked me to do a poem about one day a week, so I thought I'd do one today. I can't obviously do it justice, so I should let the master read it.
You've done another poem?
Yeah, you said, you know, just do one. If you have a day where you've had a lot of emotions.
Well, I loved the poem, and so did the listeners, and I knew they would, so if you can do that every week, that'd be a joy for me.
You can't force a poem, though.
No, I know.
So a diary's easy to do, because you just write down what you're doing.
But you've got to have some really meaty subject matter to be able to write a poem, Rick, as you'll discover.
I know.
Right, so, you know, you've heard what problems I had that day.
Go on, then.
Bubbled wallpaper. What a mess. Washer dry and knackered. What a mess. Siamese twins separated. One leg less.
I don't know what rhyming scheme that is again. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, fuck me. Well, there you go. That's the end of episode 2 of series 3 of The Ricky Gervais Show. More next week. More drivel, more diary. Another poem, I hope.
Maybe.
Just more news and stuff. From me, Ricky Gervais. Stephen Merchant.
Goodbye.
And Carl Pilkington.
Right.